Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Story of My Life is Helen Keller autobiography, first published in book form in 1903, and one of the most influential first-person accounts in disability literature. This original, unabridged edition presents Keller's early life, the illness in infancy that left her blind and deaf, and the educational partnership with Anne Sullivan that made language, reading, writing, and formal study possible. The book is not only a memoir of personal development, but also a record of experimental education, tactile communication, and intellectual formation at the turn of the 20th century. Its best-known episode, The Water Pump Lesson, is treated as the moment when Keller understood that objects had names and that language could organize experience. The volume also includes letters and supplementary material that document her progress over time. Its purpose is both autobiographical and evidentiary, showing how disciplined teaching, family support, and Keller's own curiosity shaped a life of learning. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the water pump lesson as the turning point from sensation to language. The most famous moment in The Story of My Life occurs when Anne Sullivan spells the word water into Helen Keller's hand while water flows over it. The importance of the episode is not simply sentimental. Keller presents it as a cognitive breakthrough in which sensation, sign, and meaning suddenly align. Before this point, she had learned some manual signs by imitation, but she had not fully grasped that a sign could stand for a distinct thing in the world. The lesson transforms language from a set of movements into a system of reference. This makes the scene central to the book structure, because it explains how education became possible. Once Keller understands naming, objects around her become available to memory, inquiry, and communication. The episode also clarifies why Sullivan's role cannot be reduced to kindness or patience. She creates the conditions in which repeated tactile experience becomes conceptual knowledge. Keller's account therefore offers an early, vivid case study of language acquisition outside ordinary sight and hearing. Secondly, Anne Sullivan's method shows teaching as adaptation rather than simple instruction. The book gives sustained attention to Anne Sullivan, often called teacher by Keller, because her work demonstrates how education had to be redesigned for a child without sight or hearing. Sullivan does not merely transfer ordinary lessons into another format. She begins with touch, movement, familiar objects, and daily routines, turning the environment into a classroom. This method matters because Keller's early frustration is linked to isolation rather than lack of intelligence. Sullivan recognizes that discipline, affection, and intellectual challenge must be combined. She teaches words through lived contact with things, then gradually expands Keller's world through reading, writing, nature study, and formal subjects. The partnership also raises a broader educational point. The teacher succeeds by observing the pupil closely and adjusting the method to the actual route by which the pupil can learn. Keller's narrative shows education as a reciprocal process. Sullivan interprets Keller's needs, but Keller's intense curiosity also drives the lessons forward. The relationship becomes the practical foundation of the entire memoir. Thirdly, Keller's prose challenges assumptions about perception and literary description. A striking feature of The Story of My Life is the descriptive confidence of Keller's prose. She writes about nature, books, weather, friendship, and intellectual discovery in language that is clear, reflective, and often richly visual in vocabulary. This can surprise readers who approach the memoir expecting a narrow record of impairment. Keller had some visual memory from the first months of life, but much of her later descriptive world came through touch, language, reading, and conversation. The result is not a simple substitution of one sense for another. Her prose shows how perception can be mediated by memory, analogy, education, and imagination. This is one reason the book remains important beyond biography. It unsettles the assumption that literary description must be grounded only in direct visual experience. At the same time, the style sometimes reflects the elevated diction and literary conventions of its period, which can feel formal to modern readers. That formality is part of its historical texture, not merely a defect. Fourthly, letters and supplementary accounts turn the memoir into a developmental record. The original 103 form is more than a continuous autobiography. It includes Keller's letters from childhood and youth, along with supplementary material on her education and development. These sections change how the book should be read. The autobiographical chapters offer retrospective interpretation, while the letters preserve stages of growth closer to the moment when they occurred. Readers can see changes in vocabulary, confidence, social awareness, and intellectual range. The supplementary material also provides an external frame, especially through accounts connected with Anne Sullivan and the educational process. This matters because Keller's achievement was often treated by the public as miraculous, a word that can obscure the labor behind it. The documentary structure reveals repeated practice, tutoring, correction, institutional support, and sustained effort over many years. It also allows readers to compare Keller's own self-presentation with observations from teachers and companions. The book, therefore, functions as memoir, educational case history, and primary historical document. Lastly, the memoir reshapes disability from private limitation into public intellectual life, although The Story of My Life focuses mainly on Keller's first two decades. It points toward a much larger public life. Keller would later become a lecturer, writer, and advocate connected with disability rights and several progressive causes. The memoir does not fully cover those later commitments, but it establishes the intellectual basis for them by showing how communication gives access to public participation. Disability in the book is not denied or romanticized. Keller describes anger, confusion, dependence, and barriers to learning. Yet the narrative also resists defining her solely by deprivation. Once language enters her life, she becomes a reader, correspondent, student, and interpreter of experience. This reframing is historically significant because early 20th century readers often encountered disabled people through pity or medical curiosity. Keller instead presents herself as an active mind formed through relationships and education. The book thus belongs not only to inspirational autobiography, but also to the history of disability representation because it makes intellectual agency visible. In conclusion, The Story of My Life is best suited for readers interested in autobiography, disability studies, educational history, and the formation of language and identity. Students can use it as an accessible primary source from the early 20th century, while general readers can read it as a concise account of how communication reshapes a life. Educators may find particular value in the portrayal of Anne Sullivan method, which emphasizes observation, adaptation, and the use of concrete experience before abstraction. The book also benefits readers who want to understand Helen Keller beyond the simplified cultural image of a single breakthrough at the pump. Its letters and supplementary material show gradual development rather than instant transformation. Compared with many inspirational memoirs, it stands out because its significance is documentary as well as emotional. Keller writes from within the experience being analyzed, and the additional materials help place that experience in educational and historical context. The style may feel formal or old-fashioned to some modern readers, but that quality also preserves the voice of its period. Its lasting value lies in the combination of personal testimony, pedagogical insight, and a rare account of language emerging through touch. If you would like to support Helen Keller, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.